Hey everybody, this is David Skrika. It's March the 2nd, 2018. So just to start off here and get the pleasantries out of the way, I just want to remind everyone that special deal I'm doing, 40% off the price of a one-year subscription, 50% off the price of a lifetime subscription, that will end today, March the 2nd. So if you're interested, please get back to me. Obviously, if you get back to me a day or two late over the weekend, I'm not going to sweat it, but get back to me either today or sometime over the weekend. But I will end that after this here going forward. So in our past is prelude series, this one I'm going to take a little different view, and we're going to look at valuation metrics. And we're not going to look at typical valuations metrics. We're not just going to look at price to earnings. Because I think the biggest problems with earnings in this cycle is we have seen so much financial engineering. So for those of you unaware, what financial engineering is when companies essentially are, quote-unquote, engineering their earnings numbers. So they'll usually use money to buy back stock, and it works like this very simply. Say a stock, let's just make it very easy, is making $100 and has 100 shares outstanding. So it's making $1 per share. Well, if they buy back 5% of their stock, and now they only have 95 shares outstanding, so they buy back 5 shares, now their earnings, and they make the exact same amount of money, is $1.06. So their earnings per share have gone up 6%, 5.6%, by essentially just buying back shares. And with the access to cheap capital that companies have had, they've been able to go to the bond market, borrow for nothing. A lot of AAA-rated, there's actually only a few AAA-rated, but a lot of A-rated corporations are able to buy, say, on short-term bonds, like 1-2 year bonds, 1 or 2%. And a lot of, and even over 5 or 10 years, are able to borrow at, 2-3%. Unheard of levels outside of governments until the last few years. So they're able to, basically borrow this money, then use that money and use it to inflate their earnings. And there's many companies, 3M, McDonald's, a lot of these companies have seen virtually no increase in revenue since 2014, but have been able to jack up their earnings per share by, essentially buying back stock and reducing the amount of stock outstanding. So one reason, the main reason this is done too, is really for benefits to the management. Now they may give you all these reasons why they're doing it, giving back to shareholders. Obviously it can help the share price because with less stock outstanding, it takes less buying to drive the price of the shares up. But really, most management bonuses are linked to stock options. And by obviously reducing the amount of stock out and making it easier for stock to go higher, your options go in the money, or cash bonuses that are linked to, a company, say, making so much per year. So if you can make your earnings per share number, it means that essentially you can, cash in on a cash bonus. And there's been a few really slimy kind of examples in the last few years of companies jacking up the buyback in the fourth quarter just to hit those EPS numbers to trigger bonuses. Okay, so anyhow, that is why when people say, "Oh, the S&P is trading at 18 times forward earnings," or the one reason that the price to earnings ratio hasn't gotten way out of whack in this bubble is because of the manipulation of earnings. It's actually estimated since 2012, 74% of earnings growth is due to stock buybacks. So that means basically the reason that earnings per share has been able to climb is companies just buying back their own shares. I think IBM is probably the best example of this. IBM had years and years of declining revenues quarter over quarter, but essentially has had their earnings hold up because they're just buying back tremendous amounts of shares. And IBM, by the way, has taken on a tremendous amount of debt to do this in the intermediate term while they've inflated their EPS. Yes. So anyhow, so what we're going to do is now look at the valuation metrics, which I think really matter, right? And what I think really matter are, I think one of the most important valuation metrics is price to sales, because you can't manipulate your sales, right? Maybe if you're Enron and you're using fraudulent schemes, you can, right? And your front end booking revenue that should be down the line. But essentially, your revenue is revenue, and you cannot manipulate that. And price to sales on the S&P, the median price to sales is back to the 2000 highs. And this really shows you the overvaluation of the market. And what's interesting about that, in 2000, you know, we had all these stocks that had no earnings. We had internet companies. Well, now we really don't have that. And still the price to sales, meaning that probably the average company or median company is more overvalued now than it was even in 2000. And that is a real warning sign and a sign that the next bear market could be vicious. For example, you know, price to sales tends to be about 1.3, 1.4 times, meaning that, again, let's do a rough, make it easy. If a company had $100 in sales, its market cap should be $130. Well, right now, I think the price to sales is about 2.2. So that $100 in sale company is now trading at 220, showing you, getting back to its average, it'd have to drop about 40 to 45%. And the reason that things are averages or medians is because they spend half the time below that. So that would mean, you know, we have to probably go back to par or even stocks trading at a discount to sales, you know, as a way to balance this overvaluation out. And then we have stock market cap to GDP. This is Warren Buffett's favorite indicator. And it basically takes the size of the economy and divides it into the size of the stock market, or the size of the stock market and divides it by the size of the economy. So basically showing the size of the stock market compared to the economy. And usually this trades at about two-thirds, about 65 to 70%. So really, if that means if you had to say a $10 trillion economy, it would mean that your stock market should be trading at around 6.5 to 7 trillion in valuation. Well, now, right now, this is 140%. Over double the median or historical average. And the only other time it was this high was the 2000 top. And the only other time it went over 100% was also in 2007. So this is only the third time in history it's done this. And this extremes that we're seeing is, you know, it is going back again to the dot-com bubble. And part of the reason that we're seeing this as well is what's interesting about this time around is the amount of time. We've basically spent above 100% for the most part since 2014. And what's interesting about that is if you go look at the last two times that stock market cap to GDP went above 100%, you know, again, 2000 and 2007, in each case it only did it for like a few months and then, you know, it came back down afterwards. So this time when they've been able to prop it up and keep market cap to GDP above 100% for nearly 4 years. And again, this has a lot to do with central bank manipulation, you know, stock buybacks propping up the market, cheap money, et cetera, et cetera. But it just tells you, again, when it falls, it should be a bad bear market. And so these are like two of the key indicators that I track and I follow. And then we have margin debt near all-time highs, et cetera, et cetera. So again, that's when you're looking at these indicators, this is why I'm warning about a bear market. This is why I'm telling people this is not just going to be a bear market like a 1990 type bear market or a bear market of the early 80s, a 20 or 25% kind of drop. This is going to be, again, one of these severe 50, 60, 70% bear markets because of the excessive valuation that we are now seeing in the market. You know, we haven't seen this in a lot of cases ever or in years. And again, most of these evaluations, like stock market cap to GDP, price to sales, are back to the 2019-29 levels, which are essentially two of the worst bear markets in history. We're talking about 50% on the S&P from 2000 to 2002, and you were talking 90% on the S&P, 89% actually, from 1929 to 1932. So that is a real, real warning, in my opinion. And the thing is, the overvaluation is so broad. When we had those excessive valuations in 2000, many sectors and stocks in the so-called old economy didn't have those kind of valuations. Well, now some of these old economy stocks, like I mentioned, 3M, McDonald's, Boeing, they're the leaders in this overvaluation. So now it's not just, oh, it's just in, you know, the bubble's just in cryptocurrencies, or the bubble is just in tech stocks. No, this overvaluation isn't just saying Amazon. It's in Boeing. It's in McDonald's. It's in everyday household names that we all probably use, you know? So this is going to be a huge, huge problem going forward. And when I'm using the past prelude in this kind of thing, I'm not looking at price action. I'm not looking at past bear markets. What I'm looking at is when these valuations have gone to this level, the bear market itself, regardless if it starts now, regardless if there's one more blow off into the summer, regardless of when it happens, is usually very severe. And that's really, really the warning sign here, is that the type of overvaluation we're seeing has only been seen once or twice in the history of markets. So that is why you must be cautious. That's why you must be using hedging. That's why you must, take this. And if you're going to take the view that, take this seriously, if you're going to take the view that, oh, you know what, these central banks can just keep this market overvalued, I think that's a very dangerous view to take. Because things work till they don't, right? They don't matter till they do. So all of a sudden, these things with overvaluation won't matter till they absolutely do. Now, can you have a higher market cap to GDP with lower interest rates or zero interest rates? Yeah, for sure. Because part of the reason would be because interest rates are so low, you're going to pay a bit of a premium in the market, to get dividends, to get capital gains, because you're not getting returns anywhere else. But for it to be nearly twice the historical median of roughly 65 to 70% trading at 135 to 140%, that is absolutely ridiculous and is stretching the valuations to the peak. And remember, interest rates were low in the late 20s. Okay, they were much higher in the 2000s, but interest rates were 3% on the longer term bonds in the late 20s. So they were low then, and that didn't stop, and they went down, by the way, even more, when we had the deflation of the 30s. But that didn't stop the stock market from collapsing. So that is something you really have to think about. So anyhow, I thought I would use these two metrics, market cap to GDP, price to sales, two very simple metrics. And actually, these are two pretty widely used metrics, but no one's looking at them right now. Everyone is ignoring them. And if you see on TV, what they'll talk about is, like, I watched Charles Payne the other night on Fox Business, and it's nothing against Charles. I actually like Charles. But he was saying that, the market has gone from 18 times forward earnings to 16. Again, that's just shallow analysis. When you've got to look at the makeup of the earnings, how inflated they are from stock buybacks, cheap money, and then you look at the underlying price to sales, etc., that you can see how expensive this market is. And I think the thing that's dangerous about this market, even more so than, say, 2000s, is that now this bubble is spread out. In 2000, the bubble stocks were the dot-coms, the telecoms, all the quote-unquote new technology, the tech stocks, Well, now the bubble valuations are in everything, McDonald's, 3M, Boeing, the list goes on and on of large cap, well-known, which should be conservative type companies, which have seen huge expansions in the price to sales. For example, McDonald's, which is actually getting whacked today, but still, McDonald's is at its top, for example, at $170 a share, was more than twice than where it was in 2014, the price of the stock, but its sales are essentially flat since 2014. That is, just a sign of the excessive optimism in the stock market. That, same thing with 3M. When that U.S. dollar rallied and hurt a lot of these multinationals in 2014, a lot of them have failed to grow revenues since then, but they have basically been able to inflate EPS with financial engineering, borrowing money to buy back stock, as I mentioned earlier, and this has helped inflate their stock prices. So it's made them even more overvalued, and they were overvalued in 2014. So this is how you get a bubble, and this is how you get things not ending that well. So I'm going to leave it on that note. And my next past is our prelude. We are going to look at the bond markets and show you why this kind of bubble in the junk bond market and potential secular top in the government bond market would be very, very dangerous for equities.